Good morning. It is Wednesday. Brr. Last day of July, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad. You made it through July. You've almost made it through winter. We're just about there. Mm. Give yourself a little bit of credit. Jack McClunty is here, and we are ready, bitches. We're going to have some fun today. Warris is popping in a little later on. And one of my favorite things is just follow Warris on X.
Yes.
He just lays it on.
The other day, he shared a video of a pigeon that crawled into the wrong nest. It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Pigeon came across. It looks like a hawk, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
And he's just stumbling there like, hold on, where did I leave
I told you.
Oh, shit, this is not the wrong address.
Can you imagine then how long that thing lasted? I'm sure it didn't last very long.
No, not at all.
My dog, who looks like she's the sweetest, most harmless thing ever, is a fucking pigeon killer.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I've heard you say pigeon killer.
So she, yesterday. Yeah, I had to come in for some meetings yesterday. So I let her outside. And there's a dove sitting in the fountain, but the fountain's frozen.
Okay.
Yeah. So this dove, I couldn't work out whether this thing is like its feet are stuck in the ice and it's that dumb that it froze over there overnight. Yeah. Or if they just go into like a trance because it's so cold. So it's sitting there on the edge of the fountain and she's barking at it, but she can't reach it. No problem. She jumps for it, tries to grab it, and then falls in the pond.
Oh.
So in the cold.
Oy,
and then this thing is still sitting there. So eventually I go up to it, I pick it up, and it's like suddenly it wakes up.
Yeah.
It's not dead. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not like intellectually disabled.
Yeah.
Well, all doves and pigeons are. And then I go and put it on the wall, and it kind of, it's almost like, you know, if you wake someone up and they're in their deepest sleep. This thing didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog's barking at it and no idea anything's happening.
Mm.
Only when I touched it did it realize something was going on. Oh, I hear this morning, wonderful news. You know, Ismail Haniyeh from, what are they called?
Hamas.
Hamas in Gaza. Hamas. How could I forget Hamas?
Hamas.
I like to put Hamas on my stuff. he's dead. They got him.
Yeah.
Boom.
One less idiot on the planet.
Yeah.
That's good.
They got another guy called Fuad Shukr, who also sounds like a real model human. So got both of them. Good reason to wake up and smile this morning. Two fuckheads dead.
Yeah.
Always nice. Earth is a little less shit. Huh?
That's always good to hear the first thing in the morning, right?
I think so.
Homicidal maniac.
Someone who really just doesn't care about whether people live or die.
Yeah.
Including, by the way, his own people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that this is one of those leaders, in inverted commas, who just sees the people he's meant to lead as tools to be deployed in order to bring about some what he believes is a higher cause.
Mm.
But now it doesn't matter what he believes because his brains are splattered all over the place.
Hey, and I think the most annoying, well, there's a lot of annoying things about this whole situation. It's just religion doesn't need any more bashing. Like,
oh, man, I don't think it even has anything to do with religion. I mean, I watched that whole thing with the Olympic opening ceremony, which you and I haven't even discussed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like maybe it's over. People are sick of it. They don't want to talk about it anymore.
It is what it is.
But my principal objection to it wasn't even, because I'm not religious, wasn't even religious. But a part of me is like, hang on a second. If you guys are going to do this, why is Christianity always the soft target? Like what? I'm in favor of upsetting all the religious people if you're going to upset some of them, right?
Mm.
So if you're going to make a show and a joke out of people's very firmly held beliefs, then you must be willing to do that for everybody.
Yeah.
So then you got to go at the Jews and the Muslims, and you got to go at the Buddhists and the Hindus.
Yep.
And you go at the Christians and the Shintoists and all those people.
Yeah.
You can't just stop somewhere where you know you might get some blowback.
I think it's Christianity has opened itself up to, I wouldn't say ridicule. It's like the last time I saw Christians come together this much was when
the Crusades.
No, not that far back. I wasn't alive during that.
The Inquisition.
What's this, man? That movie, The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah.
That was the last time. They came together. Yeah, they were like, everybody, you need to go watch this movie so you can see our Lord and Savior.
Okay.
You get what I mean?
If you say so.
But I find it very cheap and like it lacks thinking. But actually, it's a little par for the course. Because
what's cheap and lacks thinking?
The entire opening ceremony.
Oh, that.
Like, you've got men's nuts hanging out in random places and there's kids walking around.
Just for clarity, I'm going to say this again in case, because we've already covered politics and religion in the first 5 minutes of the show this morning.
Yeah.
We are not here to fuck spiders, as they put it. We're here to have a lot of interesting conversations today, so we're rushing through some things, but I didn't watch it, so I can't really comment on it as someone who paid attention. I just saw everything that happened on the internet afterwards. But I do have to say, like, to me, the worst thing about all of that is that it detracts from the real reason we have the Olympic Games, which is the athletes.
Mm.
And I think, you know, we've scored our first gold, which is fantastic. Tatiana, now she's changed her surname because she got married.
She's got two gold medals.
Yeah. And I found out, now I don't know if this is true or not, just by checking out other people's stuff on X, she is like Sia Khaleesi's in-law or something.
Is it?
Something like that.
That's interesting.
She's related to his wife in some way. Just correct me in the comments, because I know if I get it wrong, you will anyway.
Hey, those are some good genes, man. Those are some good genes.
Must be, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so there we go. Couple of people up this morning. And Adam, first thing in the morning. Let's see, we've got Common Sense saying, here to watch Mama's Boy. Who's Mama's Boy?
Who me is or Jack? Mama's Boy? Am who? I Mama's Boy?
I don't know. I don't know who he's talking about. Common Sense, stand up for yourself. Tell us what you mean. Good morning to the podcast. Keeping you going with a smile. Oh, yeah, that's so nice.
So cute.
I like that. Yes. That's cool.
Yes.
David Sachs says, good afternoon, because it's afternoon in Sydney. So good to catch you live. Hi from Sydney. Yeah.
Hey.
I wonder if anyone's listening to us from France this morning.
That would be interesting.
Maybe at the Olympics, because I know there are probably some people who have gone especially to see that.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. And I know the first lady in France is loving that opening ceremony.
Ah, Mervyn.
She saw all her people.
By the way, Mervyn says that Tatiana married Sia's brother.
Okay.
No, I'm Sia's wife's brother.
Sia's wife's brother.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay, very good. Let's give Alan Hatherley his flowers too. Bronze medal in the mountain bike. MTB, which is what? Motor.
I've got no idea.
What does that stand for? No, God, you're making it up like I am.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What is MTB?
Look it up. She's married to Rachel's brother, apparently. There we go. Cycling
cross country.
Oh, no, then don't worry about it. Please, we have to talk about cycling. Ridiculous.
Hey.
Marpello says, is there anyone listening from Gaza? Raise your hand. Don't think so.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't think there's one brick piled upon another. Or certainly there won't be soon.
I don't know. It seems like they've got more important shit to deal with.
Hey, our own channel says we are the 76th most listened to podcast in Colombia. Did you know that, Jack?
Good morning, Colombia. I did not know.
76th. I don't know if I'm thrilled or if I'm embarrassed. Everyone who's listening to us in Bogota.
What's up?
Listen, there's some good politics going on in South America at the moment. Not so much in Venezuela. They obviously, you know, the problem with socialism and communism is you vote that in, but then you have to shoot your way out.
Mm.
So Maduro, Nicolas Maduro, who's a big hero and a friend of the ANC and EFF, he won, supposedly, in a rigged election where he's got gangs of guys going around on motorbikes and in cars terrorizing people who aren't sure that they want to vote for him. You know, like when we say free and fair elections, and in the Western world we start worrying about, did the media play their role properly? Or is it fair that there's so many posters on the street poles and how high and low must the posters hang and blah, blah, blah. These people have real problems.
Yeah.
If you didn't vote for Maduro, you get beaten up. You kind of lose your business. Your children get kidnapped. There's real consequences to not doing what the bus says. Can you imagine? Like that. It's a horrible place. Horrible
place. Just to put an X on a piece of paper.
I feel very sorry for the people there. Because, I mean, look, I feel sorry for them, but I kind of don't, because enough of them voted for this nonsense before.
Mm.
Of course, it's not their fault, the ones who are left there now. I mean, you could say the same about South Africa. Like, do we deserve the ANC just because 30 years ago we started voting for them?
Yeah, but you know what? What this year's election proved to South Africans, which is something I didn't think would happen in our lifetime, the ANC got humbled, like properly humbled.
Yeah, and for now. But you know what happens with that kind of thing? It stays like that for a little bit.
No. Okay. Because by the time the next election rolls around, a lot more of the people that actually suffered the majority of the brunt of apartheid will have passed on.
Gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
So we'll have to pick up the baton and run with it.
Okay, so we've done a little bit of politics, religion, sex, any of that we need to throw in? I'll tell you what. We got to talk to Waris about this later, but they've got the women in the volleyball, beach volleyball.
Oh, yeah?
Wearing tights.
Let me Google. Let me see this.
He mentioned this, and I'm a little bit pissed off about this too. One of the reasons to watch women's volleyball is because they are in great shape and they wear very little, right?
Yeah.
So apparently, now we won't get to see any of those Brazilian bums because they're going to be in tights.
Why?
That could be a big problem for the Olympics. I don't know. They keep messing with a formula that works, and wherever they get creative, it's usually the wrong stuff. Anyway, we'll get into that later. Speaking of the Olympics, though, have you got that picture of the Greek guy with the name? It looks like a Harry Potter spell. No, seriously, this is the guy's name. Look at that. Eleftherios Petrunias.
It sounds like you're trying to summon petrol.
No, it sounds like you're casting the Harry Potter. What is that? I don't know. The one where
Expecto Petroleum.
Look at that. Yeah. Eleftherios Petrunias. So, just to prove to you, you thought you'd heard all the funny names. You ain't got nothing yet.
Mm.
And then one of our favorite things to do on a Wednesday morning on this show is to talk about how bored white liberal women in the Western world continue to find stupid shit to amuse themselves. 160,000 women of the description that we've just given joined I think it was called Karens for Kamala.
What?
Yeah, they called themselves Karens for Kamala. This is how unaware of themselves these ladies are. But I'll show you, and you listen to the advice given by the expert that they had lecture the 160,000 of them. In 160,000 of these ladies, this was the smartest one they could find. And listen to her excellent tips. Take a look at this. I mean, I don't know if you're going to... I've tried to cut it down to the shortest I can. But if you can even stay awake during this clip, I'll be impressed. Obviously, we don't want to piss people off and lose anybody from the show.
Sure.
But this is like battle. Only a few of us will be there at the end.
Ariel Hodar, affectionately known as Mrs. Frazzle to her combined audience of over 1.5 million followers, is here to help gentle parent us through this election.
Thank you. Thank Hi, everybody. You. I am so honored to speak today. I am like shaking to just be among such incredible company. We are here because, as if you were here earlier, you've heard BIPOC women have tapped us in as white women to step up, listen, and get involved this election season. This is a really important time, and we all need to use our voices and influence for the greater good. No matter who you are, you are all influencers in some way. So tonight, I'm going to share some do's and don'ts for getting involved in politics online and navigating the toxicity that comes with it. And spoiler alert, as much as the toxicity can come from the outside, it can come from us too.
No.
So first, don't isolate yourself. We can do our best work when we're in community together like we are tonight, because the toxic feels smaller when we support each other. But don't make it about yourself. as white women, we need to use our privilege to make positive changes. If you find yourself talking over or speaking for BIPOC individuals, or God forbid, correcting them, just take a beat. And instead, we can put our listening ears on. So do learn from and amplify the voices of those who have been historically marginalized, and use the privilege you have in order to push for systemic change. As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn. So do check your blind spots. You are responsible for your algorithm, believe it or not.
Jesus. Have you ever heard such a steaming pile of bullshit from one person in what is supposed to, I mean, 160,000 idiots were listening to her going, she's right. No, she's absolutely right, you know. Mm. Yeah. By the way, she mentioned the term BIPOC, which stands for Black, Indigenous, and People of Color.
Oh.
And then she goes, you know, don't make it about you, but as white women, here we come, Savior to the rescue, because all those BIPOC women, what would they do without us white women?
Yo.
And I love the introduction. I love the way she says hello. She's like, hi, it's so great to be with all of you. Oh, my God.
Does everyone these people talk to have to be a five-year-old? Because it sounds like she's speaking to a five-year-old.
Yes.
We have to put on our listening ears.
Yeah.
And, hey.
Right?
Hey.
It's so bad. But
that's
I'll tell
when you need a South African within that chat just to say, hey, futsak.
I'll tell you.
Because listening ears,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable to me how people have, these are obviously all of the people on that call, I can pretty much guarantee down to a person, hasn't got any real problems. No. So they find things in society that don't require their help, and they try to help. This is like going into the wheel factory. If you are a person who collects like manure and you go into the wheel factory and you say to them, I'm here to reinvent the wheel. And then they go, but we're fine here and the wheel's doing okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, but I have a better plan. You're like, but we don't need a new wheel. This one's fine. No, but let's make it square. Yeah. That's really not a good idea.
It's like, I'm not sure if this is a fact or not, but back in the day I heard that during the space programs, America was trying to invent a pen that you could use in space.
Yes.
The Russians just took a pencil.
That is a true story.
It's Occam's razor again.
Correct. Mm? I heard of another term just this week, which is another razor.
Yeah.
Which people have started using in common parlance. But I do have to say, like, that call, and then they, by the way, they had a men's call for Carmela as well. White men for Carmela. Because, you know, nothing speaks unity more than dividing everyone by race and sex.
Yeah.
Such a great way to start off. And, of course, this is the way that people on the left like to operate. They keep talking about how bad racism is and how awful it is, but they're the ones who keep on dividing people into these groups.
Which is why I feel like liberals are the most dangerous people to our cognitive abilities, because for whatever reason they contradict themselves every 2 seconds. Like that woman last week who said I'll vote for Kamala because she can dance. It's like,
correct,
okay, great, you just pointed out that a black woman can dance.
Well,
congrats.
Well,
anyway, I saw a comment that I thought was pretty hilarious in here. Where is it now? I can't find it. But like, she pointed out that it doesn't matter how big or small you are, you can still be an influence. I was like, oh, she's finally talking to me.
We weren't talking about small in stature.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, really. I mean, you also have to ask yourself, what kind of a person would join a group called White Men or White Women for Carmela?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if that happened on the other side? Imagine we're the black men for Trump.
Yo. Like, they'd be called all kinds of...
Imagine.
Coons,
right?
Buffoon.
Yo, we're the black men for Trump.
It's like, why do you have to... and that BIPOC or whatever. Like, why do we need these terms? Well, who thought that this was a good idea?
Because again, if you don't have character and personality, you substitute it with these kinds of labels. It makes you feel like you're important and people give a shit about you when they really don't.
Ooh. Ech. Karen, just go back to your air-conditioned home and be grateful for the things that you have. And leave us the hell alone, man.
So it's kind of, you know what it is. It's pathetic. It's love me, notice me, please, me as well. 160,000 of those people on that call. People like her. I didn't even know there are 160,000 people that irritating in the United States, but clearly there are.
Mm. The idea that the majority is right is wrong, actually, because all the idiots are on the same side.
Correct.
All of them.
I'm going to tell you what the tips for an attractive personality are, because if we're going to criticize people, we may as well give you some tools to know and identify the right people.
Yeah.
We've seen the wrong ones. Now we'll see the right ones. So we'll get to that in a second. But somebody said in the comments here that woman is probably exactly the kind of person who went for like 5,000 boosters and all the vaccines she could get.
Yeah.
Nina Simone, she said she probably advocated to take the vaccine and 5,000 boosters. Well, I found a clip yesterday. I was doing the rounds again. When Stephen Colbert is dead and gone, they're not going to remember him as a great comedian.
Mm.
They're not going to remember him as a late night talk show host of middling success. They will remember this forevermore. The worst propaganda, the least disguised propaganda, the most direct and stupid propaganda in all of television history.
Hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Because you'll remember as soon as I put it on screen.
Well, this, let's put it on screen.
This is the worst, and this is the only thing Stephen Colbert will ever be remembered for. Look at this. You remember this?
Gareth, I told you that I was in a good mood this morning.
I know, but
you
know, sometimes when you it's called Schadenfreude, when you see people making more of an ass of themselves than you are, you feel good about yourself. You should feel good about yourself that you're not Stephen Colbert. What a joke.
Yeah.
That's bad, right?
It is terrible.
It's so bad.
It is so bad.
Four years later, and it looks like it was made by the dorkiest, nerdiest, most loserish people you can imagine.
Yeah.
So there we go. Start your day right.
It's like, you know, when you're trying to come up with something and someone walks into the room and randomly says something, you're like, oh, that's actually great. Let's fly with that.
Mm.
That's what happened right there on that show. And so the fact, I think it's hilarious to me that the American audience watched this and there was no upheaval whatsoever. Like, no. They were like, okay.
How bad? How bad?
Ugh.
All right. On to happier things. So, do you want to know what the attractive personality tips are?
Yes, sir. Yes,
so,
sir.
What makes a personality attractive? You're in luck. We have the list. So, here it is. These are the things that will make you attractive to other people. Number one, positive mental attitude.
Mm.
Very important. Who needs negative people around? We've discussed that ad infinitum. We don't need to go into any detail. Number two, flexibility.
Mm.
Flex the producer. Very much into flexibility. Obviously, you should be able to change your mind and to change your plans.
Right.
Because the people that stick to the same old all the time, predictable, boring.
Mm. They usually... And nothing grows in your comfort zone anyway.
Correct. And most people will only do the bare minimum. And it's not enough. You need to sometimes be able to change your plans at the drop of a hat. That's where exciting stuff happens.
Mm.
Sincerity of purpose, again, speaks for itself.
Yep.
But I think purpose, we've discussed a lot. The sincerity of purpose is probably an additional quality to that already very good and important thing of having a purpose. If you are sincere about your purpose is like you really want to help people, because it sounds like such a twee, ridiculous thing. I want to save the world, Miss Universe pageants and so on. But I think if you have sincerity, if you actually mean what you say there, that's a different level.
It is.
Right?
It
is. And it does make people attractive. Mm. You're like, wow. You know, he really looks like shit, but he believes in what he
did. What do you say?
Yeah. He's going to change the world.
Yes, sir.
Promptness of decision making. I love this one. Because
that's a good one.
You know, these people who dither and can't make their mind up. And I always find it interesting to watch people order something at a restaurant.
Mm.
Sometimes they take hours. Sometimes they'll sit there and pore over the menu. They'll ask you your opinion. You'll sit down and there'll be a 10-minute conversation about what they should order. I'm like, you clearly do not know yourself at all.
Yeah.
What do you feel like? You feel like a salad? Do you feel like a pasta? Do you feel like a bowl with old bits of hoof in it?
Like, mind you, for me personally, I wouldn't just randomly walk into a restaurant with no idea what I want to eat.
People do.
Like, I pick the restaurant according to
people do
the craving that I have at that point in time. It's like, what?
People who know me well will also know exactly what I'm going to order in advance. If they've spent enough time around me, I do the same thing. We talk about flexibility, but with meals, I know what I want, and a meal's not the important thing. It's who I'm there with.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, back to the list. What do we got? Courtesy. Very good. Manners. Mm. Nobody has manners anymore. And it's little things. Hold the door open. Say thank you. Say please.
Yep.
You know the stuff that you teach your kids if you have nice kids and don't teach them if you have shit kids?
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't have to be actions. It can be deeds and words. It doesn't have to be just one.
It's a level of consideration that you should have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're not an island. And I think you get the best out of people when you treat them with a level of respect and courtesy.
Well, you're exactly right. And I'm glad that you shortened the definition to consideration.
Mm.
It's like those people who just stop their car in the middle of the road. Or the people who walk in the middle of the passage. Or the people who...
Or the people who walk on the road when there's a perfectly fine pavement right next to it. It's like, what now I...
Or just generally cyclists.
Okay.
All right. No, we got to move through this. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to get stuck. Tone of voice. So I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about like mirroring, which is a technique that people use in negotiating and in business and in relationship forming, where if I scratch my nose like that, then you do it too.
Mm.
And if I sit like this, then you sit like that too.
Those scam pickup artists.
They are good at that shit. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's also about the way you dress. So, you know, if I were wearing a shirt like yours, you would feel like I was more like you. You'd like me more.
Right.
And matching tone of voice is very important.
Mm.
So if someone is slower and more thoughtful and careful about their choice of words, then you match that and they go, wow, what a nice guy, without you even having done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you don't even have to make sense.
It's subliminal messaging.
But that tone of voice that they're talking about is a friendly one as opposed to a shitty one. Mm. A mate of mine brought a girlfriend to a dinner once, and she was like, everything was... and we'd only just met her, and I was like, this is going to go well. Of course, they broke up like a couple of days later. It wasn't our fault. We weren't rude to her.
Yeah.
But she had this like barking... angry tone to her the whole time. You got to avoid that. Do you like this list or must we stop? This is a good one. I love a habit of smiling.
Yeah.
Seems so obvious, but like a smile, even at a stranger, is such a powerful thing.
It is.
Like it's the airport on Friday and then on Sunday again. People are glum. You can see it in traffic right now. If you're sitting in your car listening to us this morning, you look to the left and right, you're going to see a grumpy face probably. Mm. Now, people are sad and they're unhappy and they're miserable and they've got problems. And I get all of that. And I'm not going to minimize any of that or make fun of it because it's tough. Living is bound to be hard a lot of the time. But if you smile, everything gets better. What did Michael Jackson sang that Charlie Chaplin? Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
You can get by with a smile. So that's a good one. Expression of the face, obvious. Tactfulness. Yes. I know somebody that she just has no ability to
read the
land
room.
A soft blow, to make something kind rather than nasty. She asks inappropriate questions. It's just bad, man. And listen, I can be tactless, right? But I can also, if I'm in the right company at the right time, I think I can turn on the tact. Yeah. If you have no tact at all, big minus on your report card.
Like huge, huge minus. It's people who have the inability to be present. Like your mind is always somewhere else, meaning you're not reading the room.
Yeah.
So when you communicate, you're speaking from wherever your head is at, not what's going on in front of you.
Correct. All right, let's breeze past a couple more of these because some of these are obvious. Tolerance, well, there's a lot of emphasis on that these days, and I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Frankness of manner and speech. Yo, sometimes, now this contrasts obviously with tactfulness, but sometimes people really appreciate someone not beating around the bush. I did, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday last week, I kept all my meetings to 20 minutes. I'm so proud of myself. It was the best feeling ever. But you know what? It made everybody else feel good too.
Yeah.
Because they didn't feel their time was wasted. You can get things done quickly if you're just honest. Don't beat around the bush. Be frank. Get things done.
Get it done.
I love it.
Like we often overlook the fact that time is legit all we have.
Yeah.
Legit.
Right.
So if you can save a bit, do it.
So that comes into speech and manner as well. And it doesn't mean you have to be rude. Keen sense of humor speaks for itself. Faith in infinite intelligence.
Ooh.
Okay, that's quite a biggie.
That is a biggie. That is a biggie.
I'm not even sure what that means in that list. You want to have a crack at it?
I think what it means is understanding that you are not the center of the universe.
There are
forces much greater than you, you need to take heed of such. I think that's what it says to me personally.
Carl says in the comments, I think I'm on the spectrum because I'm so bad at exercising tact. I'm really good at offending people. Zero filter. Nina says, my tolerance level's been used up. I no longer have any to give. Yeah, if there's something big on the line, something you really want, you'll find the tact.
Yeah, you will.
You'll find all those tools you need. Will.
The thing is, incentives mean a lot to people.
Hell yes.
If you are incentivized to behave well, you will.
Okay, keen sense of justice. I think everybody knows what fair and unfair is. That's a good one. Appropriateness of words. Yeah, again, that comes down to tact, right? Emotional control.
Ooh.
Big one.
Huge.
Don't have temper tantrums and also don't have pity parties the whole time. Like everybody else has got shit to do in their day. They don't all have time to worry about your problems.
And not everyone cares about your emotional well-being. I'm sorry to say it, but not everyone cares.
Most of us don't.
Yeah. The people that live in your house might talk to them about it, but like leave the rest
out. Or book professional help.
Yeah, it's serious. Leave the rest of us out of it. And look, as you just mentioned, life is difficult, right? And we are all trying to figure all of this shit out.
Yeah.
I don't need for you to bump into me and have some sort of an emotional reaction over something very small. Like, let's not do it.
God, no.
Let's not do it, please.
Yeah. Monica says, by the way, in the comments, she says, in traffic, I like to wink at the ugly people. It makes them so happy.
Ooh. the question is anyone winking at you?
Yeah. Okay, this is a good one. Alertness to the interests of others. Those me people, it can get exhausting.
Yep.
Effective speech. I think there's a little bit of duplication there with some of the others.
Yeah.
Versatility, that kind of comes into flexibility in most ways. Genuine fondness for people. Yeah. You either like people or you don't, and sometimes that changes for all of us. But if you walk into a room and people get the feeling that you really hate being there, it's not going to go well. I know. I've been on the receiving end and on the giving end of that.
It's. Have you ever seen the that guy who's a little older than the people at the party?
Mm.
You don't have to necessarily see him with your eyes. You know he's there. That's what I'm getting from that rule. Like, you can pick up energy a lot quicker than people recognize. Like, when you're out of place, you're out of place. I saw it this past weekend. I had a gig on Sunday.
Yeah, you were DJing.
Yeah, at a place called Hush Money. It was really fun. But you could tell who was there for the right reasons and who wasn't. You know what I mean?
What are the just out of interest, what are the wrong reasons?
The wrong reasons is low level, low frequency thinking. Yeah, I just want to get laid. I want to, you know what I mean? I'm just here to take pictures for guilty. Instagram.
I'm guilty of some of that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for me, it's about genuinely having a good time. Whatever happens as a result of you showing up with the idea that, look, I'm just here to have a great time. Everything else is an add-on.
So funny, we have a thing here. Snipes actually comments on this in the comment section this morning as well. And we've got a thing in this office that nobody shouts.
Mm.
And we never have shouting here, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Because Snipes says, if a person yells, walk away.
True.
There's nothing worse, right?
And it's funny to me.
We all live close to each other in modern society. Like, you can hear the neighbors.
Yeah.
And you can hear when they shout at each other. And it's never pleasant.
It's never pleasant.
It makes everything horrible.
And it's funny, raising your voice isn't going to help me hear you better. I could hear you from the beginning.
The last three are humility of the heart. I think that's always a good quality. Good showmanship. Yeah, put on a show. Make the people laugh. Make them smile. And finally, personal magnetism.
Mm.
A very large misunderstood quality.
Yep.
Some people just have it. You know, there are those people who walk into a room and everybody wants to talk to them. Not because they're famous, not because they are rich and powerful, not because they're in charge.
Mm.
Sometimes just because they are fun.
Yeah.
There's different kinds of magnetism. You might be a leader. You might not be a leader. You can still have huge amounts of magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
You could be an attractive person without looking like one.
Yeah.
Although that is rare. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Superficial people like me don't see it, but I believe you can be a nice person and be very hideous to the eye.
Yeah.
That's what they tell me.
By the way, it's okay if you're not that. I've got this friend, Tumelo. He's really cool, tall, tall human being. Whenever people see us together, they say we're in a long distance relationship. It's hilarious. So he's got that kind of magnetism. Like, whenever we go to a party, he's the guy that gets the free shot. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah,
like, people are just, they gravitate towards him. Yeah. And he's a really, really cool person. So, and I'm not going to stand there and be on some, why do they like you and not me? No. Just enjoy the moment. Keep it moving.
I love it. So that's a list. I mean, you know, this Dale Carnegie guy, he wrote these books back in the 80s. And they were such a revelation for some people. I mean, so much of it, when I've seen bits and pieces, because I've never read the books, seems to me kind of obvious. And it probably should be. So I don't think I'm the exception. I'm probably the dead bang average on that one.
Mm.
But it seems to me like people are always blown away by stuff that should be
straightforward,
there for all to see. Yeah.
Do you know what I think it is? It's like, you know how they say, don't worry about the messenger, listen to the message. I think it's how the message is brought across. Like, certain people want to hear things in their language.
Right.
Like, that internal language. Like, there's a certain way we all speak to ourselves. And when you hear someone outside speak in the same kind of pattern, then the message lands a lot better.
Yeah. And that's what you want to do. You want to try and land the message bit as well as possible.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of the language we use and the sounds we make, somebody sent me this video this week of like really terrifying bird noises. You know, if I heard any of these late at night outside my window, I would make liquid shit. And if you don't believe me, I don't even know what some of these birds are. Some of them are Australian. There's one here called the shoebill, which apparently you get in a very, very rare bird, but you find it in some parts of South Africa, Botswana and so on.
Mm.
Scary looking thing, scary sounding thing. But take a look, because nature is full of all kinds of terrifying shit. And this is new to me. I thought, you know, I've lived long enough to have seen all the really scary stuff. I had no idea. These are just birds, by the way. Birds. Take a look.
Scariest bird sounds in the world.
Yeah, that thing.
Shoebill.
Shoebill. Shoebill.
Loon.
Oh!
White bellbird.
Sounds like the like those old modems.
Yeah.
Horn screamer.
Horn screamer.
No. No.
Like a cuss. So how's that first one that sounds like a velociraptor? Then the second one, that shoebill that goes clack, 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 like gunshots.
It sounded like gunshots.
It's just doing this with its beak.
And it's an ugly-looking bird.
Ugly.
My goodness.
Ugly as sin. And then there's that that horn screamer, which is pretty terrifying, and the loon.
Mm.
And then that thing with the funny piece hanging in the front that also sounds like a modem from the 90s.
Yeah.
When I was,
got a flashback from dial-up.
I'm telling you, there's some bizarre shit out there. Mm. The second one sounds like an M16 assault rifle, says Sanele. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Shoebill looks like it descends from a dinosaur, says Tabo.
Yep.
Nikki says, my dog is very upset with these bird sounds. It's barking at the TV. Sorry, Nikki. But do they know the Hardy Dar, says Tracy. Ah, we had family here from Oz earlier in the year, and the kids heard a Hardy Dar for the first time. Gobsmacking disbelief. It was hysterical.
Hmm.
See, we're so used to that noise.
Yeah.
That we don't, I don't even flinch. I hear Hardy Dars, I just want to grab my gun.
Listen, they live right around my apartment.
Oh.
Like, there's no way I can step out and take a walk without bumping into one of them.
Oh.
The other, I think I was making my way to the office on Monday morning. And you know how the vegetation in our office is. Like, I could not see it at all. All I heard was a weird noise.
And it's dark in the morning, right? Yeah.
I'm like, what in good God's name?
Right.
Oh.
Marpelo says dragons should be on that list. Those things sound so scary.
They sound so scary.
I'm trying to catch up with House of the Dragon, but I haven't watched any of it this week. I believe we're almost at the end of this season, right?
I've given up.
I've heard there's some good dragons. Dragons is the reason you watch.
Yeah.
I don't really give a damn who the king or the queen is.
I
don't. I care about the dragons. I've seen how in those Hollywood studios, how they put those sounds together. They take a whole lot of different sounds and they amalgamate them into one.
Yeah.
They're called Foley artists, the people who do that. It's incredible.
It's really cool.
Bitcoin Butt says, that is why Tabo Bester went to hide outside of South Africa. They would have known he was still in South Africa with the Hardy Dar in the background.
Mm.
That's a good point. You know, you could pretty much figure out if someone is still in the country. Just listen, get on a Zoom call with them and listen to them for long enough. And you're like, ah! Yeah. Right? Very good.
I was actually, I Googled the name for the fear of birds. It is such a weird word. Like
ornithophobia?
Ornithophobia. It's like, the first time I heard that word was on Big Bang Theory when Sheldon was freaking out about a bird. I honestly didn't think that there'd be a single bird on this planet that could scare me, but those do.
They're scary.
They are scary.
Genuinely. And those are just the noises. What if that first one that sounds like a velociraptor, that thing ran out in front of you? Early in the morning when you couldn't, the sun's not out yet, you can't really see what's going on like those Hardy does in the bushes.
Yeah.
And that thing runs out and goes,
Rah! Listen, the hunter-gatherer in me would jump out of my body. Just
shit yourself.
It'd be instinct. Papa, kill it.
I heard something the other day that made me even more disgusted in Hardy Dars. Apparently, they have lots of ticks and fleas.
Mm.
And if you see them up close, I mean, they're pretty disgusting looking birds.
Yeah, they are.
You know, they're just vultures, really, but ugly ones. Mm. Ugly, short, not impressive vultures.
Yeah.
They're the worst kind of everything. Leave the Hardy Dar alone, says Gift. They are my morning alarm system. Do they actually, are they quite, are they dependable? Are they regular? Mm. Do they all start making a noise at the same time?
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think they use the sun. I don't think they use the clock.
Nah, yeah, it's the sun.
So
definitely.
Then, you know,
so around
about
6 to 7.
Yeah, but you know, 7 o'clock in the summer is very different to 7 o'clock in the winter.
Very different.
I do notice, and it makes me happy. It's getting warmer and it's getting lighter. And I don't want to jinx it because we've still got August, which is a shithole. But summer's just around the corner.
It is.
Best time of the year is coming, right?
Oh, it is.
Very, very good. My long-legged Jack Russell says a Bitcoin boat always goes out for the Hardy Dars, not successful yet. They always manage to get away at the last minute.
Mm.
But I think they're also too big for most dogs to be able to just...
tangle with, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that wingspan is substantial.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is 5 years old. She's terrified of all birds, including chickens. We live in Hoedspruit, where wildlife is everywhere. Doesn't flinch, but fuck, a chicken freaks her out. Chicken. I think you can get back at them by just eating chicken.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And chickens are like the most dour birds ever. Like, you put them in a cage, you'll find them in the cage. They won't try, run away, none of that stuff. You don't even need a cage, actually.
I grew up
with
chickens. I'm not scared of them.
Yeah, chickens are a breeze.
Please, man. Yeah. You do get those very big roosters, the ones that the breeding stock roosters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those things are monsters. They are high, tall,
and
a meter up, and they've got spikes on their legs, and they fight. No, they're hardcore things. This is disgusting, but Bronwyn says Hardy Dars eat dung beetles, which have a worm parasite, deadly to dogs, and some dogs love eating Hardy Dars shit. Ew.
Hmm.
As if they don't, I mean, they couldn't get any worse, these things, right?
Yeah. I actually didn't know there was so much to learn about Hardy Dars. Thank you so much to the comment section. Jesus.
These people know everything.
Yeah, they do.
You won't miss all of the important information if you join us every time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just talk about Deleuze. I didn't know this stuff until this morning. Apparently, Deleuze had a stroke.
Yes.
How long ago was this?
A couple of days ago, like last week.
I'm so out of it. Okay.
I came across, his name was trending on X. I think it was Friday morning or Saturday, somewhere there.
Sure.
But apparently he had a stroke just days before his birthday party. And the reason I brought this talking point up is
but the guy's only 39 years old.
That's my thing. That is part of the reason why I wanted to talk about this. But at the same time, it is alleged. I'm not sure if this is true or not. But I saw last night on X that he's trying to get donations for people to pay for his medical bills.
Shit.
Which is when my sympathy turned into anger.
Why? You don't like when celebrities...
No. Here's the thing. You have... As an entertainer, you kind of build your brand around certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And opulence is what comes to mind when a lot of people think of...
celebrities.
Well, specifically the Les.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
He's all white parties, the way he carried himself. Now, in fact, on X, there was a clip of Burna Boy throwing a stack of money down to him and him using the money as a phone. You know what I mean? And I'm not... saying that he shouldn't have done that. I'm not trying to put him down or whatever. But if you are going to lead that kind of lifestyle, when shit hits the fan, I would hope that you've got some sort of war chest somewhere.
Well.
Because at this point in time, how am I expected to feel sympathy for you when I paid for the albums that you released?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you had a concert, I paid the cover charge. Whenever you had a performance at a club?
All white parties.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. All of it. Even the endorsement deals that you did, like you would endorse this alcohol brand or that, you know what I mean? And you were making all of this money. from my pocket, mind you. Then all of a sudden, shit hits the fan and I'm supposed to help you out again.
So he's crowdfunding for medical help?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm just saying, I can't confirm or deny if this is the truth. Just saying, if it is, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth.
And maybe it's the people around him who are asking for this crowdfunding. Maybe it's not him. But the fact is, like, you can't pretend to be a baller and throwing money around and living this incredible life when actually you're on the bones of your ass, because then you're just a liar.
It is. And here's what I'm saying. I'm willing.
It's not just celebrities, by the way.
It's not.
And this is ordinary people.
Yeah.
Thanks to Instagram and TikTok and social media in general, there's so many people who are pretending that they are rolling in money. It looks like on their Instagram they're constantly on holiday.
Mm.
Everything's always fantastic.
Yeah.
They look great. They go to amazing places. They spend, drive great cars. Everything's tip top. And then you find out they've got nothing.
Here's what I know, though. After years of being a fan of people like the Les, if we were to take their clothing, we'd get those medical bills paid. Trust.
You reckon?
Trust and believe.
I think the cupboard will pay for all that stuff.
All of it. The Louis Vuitton shoes, the shirts, all of it. We pack it up and we take it to a thrift shop. Let me tell you something. Before the end of the day, we'll be able to pay all of those medical bills. All of them. I'm not going to give them a pass. I refuse to give musicians, artists, actors, all of these people a pass when they are in some sort of situation and they don't have the money to pay their bills. I do not give. If a lawyer, for argument's sake, a prominent lawyer, were to go through the exact same thing, there'd be zero sympathy for that person.
Of course, because
now all of a sudden, just because you make music,
nobody's sympathetic to lawyers. Are you joking?
You see what I mean? Now, just because you make music, I'm supposed to feel sorry for you.
Well, Sanella says, rubbish. Dalez is broke. What happened to his rich politician parents? No way, man. Jack, how reliable is your information?
Listen, I mentioned it at the beginning. I said, I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah.
That this crowdfunding thing is going
speculation.
On. It is speculation. At this point, it is speculation. I just wanted to bring up the fact that these public figures are not allowed to be, they're not allowed to inflame our sympathy just because they found themselves in a fucked up situation. We've supported you for years with our money. Now, all of a sudden, you want more. Sorry.
Kala says, do you know what cars and holidays I'd be able to afford if I didn't have to pay 300,000 rand a year in health insurance? You're paying 300,000 rand a year for health.
What I was thinking to myself. Like, what?
You need to listen to the last half hour of this morning's show. I'll tell you what. We're going to talk about these medical aid schemes. And I mean, that word puts a lot of people off scheme, right?
Scheme.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. And not me and Warris and Jack. We know nothing. We're going to talk to Maya Fisher-French, who, of course, does a lot of personal finance advice on TV and on various shows. In fact, I saw her at the airport on Friday and in person, and then I saw her on TV yesterday. So she's all over the place, Maya.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak to her about how it all works because she's smart. She knows her stuff. So she can hopefully... And poor Kala Funavestes, and we got to guide this guy. If he's spending 300,000 rand a year on medical insurance, how many people in your family...
Here.
What are you supporting, a village?
Yo.
Are you paying for everyone in the village?
And how often do you get sick? 300.
Yeah, yes. I mean, you must see there's a lot of illness in that.
Yo, you must be Bubble Boy. Do you remember that movie, Bubble Boy? You can't step outside without your dome or something. That's a lot of money.
Sugar Shabalala is cutting to the chase, eh? Public hospital for public figures.
Ooh.
Jesus.
Like that one.
Yeah, and then... Knox says they do go broke, though. And Knox is right, because the one thing I am kind of sick of, and I think we've maybe hinted at this before on the show, is like South African artists, when they end up broke in their old age or they end up in a, you know, with lots of funeral costs or whatever, then some member of their family always comes around with a hat saying, like, please help us.
Right.
Like, couldn't you guys have managed this stuff a bit better?
That's my entire thing. Hmm? We expect everyone else
to help.
Not even to help. We expect everyone else to grow up and be an adult and plan for their future.
But when it's musicians and artists and those kind of people,
all of a sudden, like when you said,
not when it's lawyers or you know what I mean? Nobody cares about that. Yeah.
And mind you, I know a bunch of people in different industries, and they floss, like accountants drive around in their Audis and all of this stuff, and they floss just as much as celebrities do. But when they pass on, no one's walking around with a head asking for donations.
Oh, by the way, Colors come back in. He says, I said health, etc. with his 300K. He says, life, disability, education, protectors, health insurance. Dude, still a lot of money.
That's still a lot of money.
300,000 a year.
That's a lot of money.
Yes.
Now I'm pocket watching. I actually want to find out how much you make in a year, bro. 300K?
Springbok Simmer says, look at Vanilla Ice. He was smart. He bought property. Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice. Baby.
Did he buy property?
Yes,
is that his thing? Really?
He did. Vanilla Ice is not broke. That man has never filed for bankruptcy at all.
You know, I saw on the TV yesterday, Flavor Flav.
Oh.
With a big clocks around his neck.
Yeah, boy.
That's him. He's at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Flavor Flav.
I love it for Flavor Flav.
Isn't he great?
He's actually got a podcast where he interviews all of the rappers from the 90s and stuff.
I love it.
I love it for him.
That's amazing.
Mm. But Flavor of Love on VH1 was a travesty. Never bring that shit back. That was terrible.
Sharon says, I've been on the same medical aid for 43 years. Sure, Sharon. I hope you've used some of it. Sure. Otherwise, you've been paying for someone else for 43 years.
That is a long time.
We have to find out how this all works. But yes. This is something I don't know anything about. Carl says, my medical aid's 12K a month, family of four. The fuck is Color doing? Oh, I do like this when the comment section start to fight with itself.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we got DJ Warris here with us. Of course, if you haven't seen the Shady podcast, you are missing out. You need to check that out on The Real Network. It's right here. Subscribe, like, blah, 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 blah. Do all of that stuff.
Yeah.
We don't need to put a gun to your head. You can manage this. This is not too difficult. Snoop at the Olympics is giving me life, says B. Last comment of this hour.
Oh,
I love
it. That was great.
Yeah.
Even the previous Olympics, he was on point.
And he carried that torch like a joint.
Yeah.
Right?
I love it. He never breaks character.
No, he's great.
Oh, he's great.
I do love Snoop.
Mm.
All right. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere.